Welcome to the Barth Calderon Wealth Protector Podcast. Our founder, Harry Barth, and his son, Brad, are top speakers on asset protection and estate planning to many incredible groups across the country, including the Women Presidents Organization, Vistage, the Young Presidents Organization, the California Apartment Association, and many more. And now, here is your host, Paul Hitchcock.
Craig, I want to talk about the financial power of attorney now, which is another foundational component of the estate plan. Tell us about that.
The financial power of attorney, I think personally, of course, the healthcare is important, but the financial one, this is checkbook control over your financial matters, whether they be business or personal. This is where you actually give a representative, in this case called your attorney in fact, the power to act on your behalf in financial matters. This could be discussing your mortgage, completing the purchase of a home, business transactions, all of those things that might be financial in nature. It is literally giving someone checkbook control to act on your behalf if you're not able to do it.
So that's an important role. And obviously, nobody ever wants to think you're going to need somebody to do this, but especially for business owners, you know, rental property, or just anything, you know, checking accounts. I mean, this person will be able to pay rents, mortgages, you know, operations of the business, correct?
Absolutely. I have a situation right now that's a great example for this that I think would be helpful for everybody is that this is a situation where dad is, he is okay. He's all right. He has his faculties. What he doesn't have is the ability to easily move around and take care of business. So he gave his son power of attorney, appointed his son as attorney in fact, so that on his behalf right now, his son can talk to the investment company where his retirement accounts are. And his son was also able to sell his home and act as his attorney in fact to sign all the paperwork and get the house sold so dad didn't have to go through the stress of being transported all over the place. It was a really good situation and a great example of how the power of attorney can really step in and be that living document for someone.
Excellent. And how do you present that to somebody? If a financial institution asks for it, is there a document? Is it notarized that you give them?
Great question. Yes. The power of attorney for financial matters is definitely a notarized document. And if you get it from a law firm like ours, it will generally be a robust document. What I mean by that is a substantial document, not just two or three pages long, but the power of attorney for financial matters is essentially a legal toolbox for your representative to act on your behalf. And when a client needs to put that power of attorney to use, they'll generally walk into a bank, for example, or the mortgage company or wherever it might be, and they'll hand over a copy of that power of attorney document, and that company, the bank or the mortgage company, will review it, put it on file, and they will start working with your agent, your attorney in fact.
Excellent. Craig, great information. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We'll see you here next time. And Craig, I know we're going to be doing this again. Thank you.
Got it, Paul. Thanks.
All right.